Inside the Cross Podcast.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by head coach Dan Shimati of the Richmond Spiders, who are 8-4 and 4-0 in the Southern Conference, coming off of a 20-9 victory over High Point, a team that they defeated by a goal in the 2014, at that time, Atlantic Sun Championship to go to the NCAA tournament for the first time in the program's first year. And Coach Shimati, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Terry.
So, just to start, what type of character would you say this team that you've built has? And I ask particularly through the lens of the fact that you've attained a lot of success early, through what I think most startup programs would describe as being a relatively fast start, meaning that, you know, from the time at which the program was announced to the time at which you took the field, it wasn't as much as of a delay as others. And now to just, you know, kind of hit the ground running and be able to be successful. Again, how do you kind of characterize the identity of the squad?
I think something that, you know, can be used to, really touch on the personality of our team is, we've got a pretty resilient bunch. Not every day down here has been, the easiest of days, where we have the most talented players or the most experienced players or the players who just, possess a tremendous amount of leadership ability. Not to say we don't have those things, but, they're just at the earlier stages. This is a team that really understands that there is still so much work to be done and there is still so much to be accomplished. We have seen the results from our hard work, and we have seen results in the other way when all of a sudden we think, hey, we've made it, we belong, we're pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And our guys know, what we need to do to play our best lacrosse.
And coming off of this weekend, you go to High Point against a conference rival who was coming off of a 3-game win streak, and had held Air Force to 9 goals, Furman to 3 goals, Jacksonville to 6 goals, and you guys put up an 8-goal fourth quarter en route to a 20-goal day on them. How did that unfold? What was it, that was kind of clicking, or what was the magic that you guys had bottled that allowed you to be that successful offensively?
I thought our guys played unselfish, and I thought our guys played fast. High Point is very athletic. They are extremely well coached, and they are very organized up and down the field. And they pressure you. They pressure you quite a bit. And I thought our guys handled that pressure the right way. But I just thought, looking back on the film, our guys played fast and they played unselfish. And you play High Point 10 times, you're lucky if you have a day, like we had the other day. I think, the other 9 times, we're all pretty confident, their team as well, that game is going to be, that game's going to be back and forth, up and down, regular dogfight.
Just in terms of a production standpoint, both J.P. Forrester and Dan Genestro have 4 goals and 2 assists against the Panthers, and it's a team that that you guys have that has seen some very balanced scoring. So just starting at the offensive end, it seems like, and I've only gotten to see you play on film. I haven't been able to see you play in person thanks to the weather. Very unfortunate game that I missed when you guys, I believe, hosted Marquette, but that being said, what is the kind of identity of this team at attack? And I'm particularly interested in the balance between some young guys who have played a fair amount, as well as a grad student transfer in Mickey Hoffmeister, who stayed within the conference and has found some success with you guys, similar to the types of success he attained at VMI. How has the balance, how has the mix come to fruition?
Well, a big part of our balance lies in the competition each and every day in practice. We are, it's funny, J.P. Forrester is having, he's having a nice season for us. There's no doubt about it. J.P. Forrester was not a starter for us in either of our two preseason scrimmages. At that point, you know, he wasn't playing his ass across. He'll be the first to tell you he didn't deserve to start. He was a starter for us last year, thankfully. And, you know, luckily he put it together right before our first game. But, I think just the fact that we have more depth this year, and there's more competition each and every day for those, you know, those, meaningful minutes on game day. That's kept our guys, you know, pretty focused and pretty hungry, Monday through Friday out there in practice. And there's no doubt that's what's contributing to, our balance so far this year.
One of the things, I used to have this theory that it was very difficult for upstart programs to maintain success, really because the scarcest resource was the goal-scoring attackman. And I thought that, you know, that was true through about the mid-2000s, but the influx of box players has made that a much less scarce, commodity, so to speak. And now it seems like it's the big dodging midfielder, the guy that can draw a slide and create offense by getting the defense spinning, and that's where the scarcity comes from. So, you know, moving to your midfield, how have you seen that balance of somebody being able to consistently create offense, you know, work hand in hand with the fact that you have four or five reliable scorers from the attack?
At the midfield position, you know, we tinker around with the combinations on a weekly basis. We play two midfields regularly. You know, I wouldn't say that the first midfield is head and shoulders above the second midfield. We've got arguably the best decision maker on our entire team, running on our second midfield. He just does a great job of leading the offense when he's out there, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page. And he's our top center guy and our extra man and our 3-3. Each and every year we're looking for the guys who complement each other the best. Right now I also think there's, you know, some good competition, you know, at the midfield, daily in practice as well. And, you know, the guys have seen that, you know, we're going to play the guys who are, you know, who are playing the best and, you know, showing up each day to give us their best. So, in terms of draw slides, you know, we do have a couple guys who, you know, are big and strong and athletic and, you know, can dodge to the right or dodge to their left and, you know, are unselfish with the ball. And, you know, we try and pair those guys with some guys who can shoot the ball. So, just to make sure that, you know, we don't have, you know, three guys out there who do exactly the same thing. I think that's, you know, we're still, you know, I don't know if we have the exact combinations or what, but, we're still going to, you know, continue to evaluate those each and every day.
Have you found a solution at the Faceoff X with Peter Moran?
I hope so. I hope so. I give Peter a lot of credit. He has come a long way. He is, to where he is right now in his career, you know, even compared to where he was in the fall with us and, you know, where he was last year, the game, it seems like it's slowed down for him quite a bit. For him to be able to come in the last two games and give us a shot in the arm that he's given us, all the credit, you know, or just about all the credit goes to him. Certainly have to give credit to his position coach, Coach Carson, who is our volunteer coach, works with our face-off guys, has done a tremendous job with Peter and that group. And it was, pretty much to the point where, you know, we were playing, you know, we were doing some good things out on the field, you know, still weren't perfect, but, you know, that was a position that, we were still struggling to have success at, not for the lack of effort, you know, from any of our guys by any means. We kind of opened up that position and said, hey, you know, this week, I think it was, you know, before Furman, you know, we just said, hey, the best guy's going to play this week, you know, and, you know, not only just can you win the ball, but can you make the right decisions when you win it? Can you pull it to the right spots? Can you get it off the ground? And, Peter delivered. He delivered that week. He delivered in that game. And, you know, he delivered the next week. And he delivered against a very, very talented faceoff guy from High Point who, you know, scares us, you know, quite a bit, you know, each week that we're getting ready to play those guys. So, So, you know, we'll see, you know, hopefully we're, you know, we'll continue to take steps forward there. If Peter can continue to give us what he's given us the last couple of weeks, you know, I think, we'll all feel pretty good with that.
To me, one of the things when I talk to opposing coaches about Richmond, it frequently comes up is how hard you guys ride. And I think it's particularly a hallmark of your early season identity because so few teams come into the regular season with their clears, you know, kind of well assembled. But it's one of those things that when you can combine that, it struck me that a team that rides really well can oftentimes overcome a deficiency at the faceoff X. You guys were facing off at 37%. And now, you know, Moran is coming in and he's facing off at 63% and really kind of flipped the script there, but I suppose, you know, from an offensive, a coach with an offensive pedigree who now, you know, has I guess the easiest way to put it is you have to be very meticulous about the path toward winning that you identify for your team and, you know, to kind of utilize a strong riding component and now to balance that with increase in success at the faceoff X, my question is very generally, like, how do you guys approach possession at this moment, right now, at this point in time, you know, in terms of getting it, in terms of out-possessing your opponent, and in terms of being efficient offensively?
In terms of, you know, our ride, you know, that the ride really, you know, that really developed because of our struggles at the faceoff X last year. We were having, you know, again, in 2014, our possessions compared to our opponent's possessions, you know, early on in the season, we were losing a lot of sleep over that. You know, we were, you know, probably having half the amount of possessions that all of our opponents were having. And we just said, you know, we need to figure out a way to get the ball more. And, you know, we put in a 10-man ride in a short period of time. I remember, I think we played Holy Cross on a Tuesday. Did not have the ride in. We put the ride in on Wednesday, and then we went down to Durham to play Vermont, and you know, showed it for the first time, and that was the first time we ever won a game. So, we weren't perfect at it by any means, and we're still not perfect at it. But it's just something we've kind of used to you know, to create a, you know, part of our identity. And again, you know, a lot of that came from you know, from our struggles at the faceoff X last year. And it's just, you know, our guys like playing that way. You know, they like playing that way. And, you know, we still, it's not like we've never given up a goal on the ride. But, you know, we want to make our opponents work to earn their possessions. And, you know, our guys, it keeps our guys dialed in, you know, for 60 minutes each and every game. So, you know, our guys enjoy the ride. It's, you know, I think one of the other things that helped us with tremendously, I think right now, somebody told us we're the number one clearing team in the country. That was definitely not the case last year. And that I'm sure has to do with, you know, when we scrimmage in practice, you know, we've got both teams 10 men riding each other, you know, coaches are going to be pulling our hair out sometimes, you know, but, it's definitely helped us in a clearing game, you know, against the teams that don't 10 men ride.
It's such a fascinating proposition because really, I mean, what it comes down to is ingenuity, innovativeness, and a willingness to take risks. And you guys are clearing at 91.7% and opponents are clearing at 77.3% against you. And, you know, without crunching the efficiency numbers and possession numbers real quick, that's a substantial advantage. And I think the other thing I wanted to address is you're picking up more than 30 ground balls a game and, you know, that, so are your opponents, but that's a lot. Do you find, And you know, when you, I guess the easiest way that you would identify this is when you scout, when you watch opposing scouts, do you find that your games tend to have, more ground balls than other games that you watch over the course of the week?
Well, I think probably half of those ground balls are us missing passes and picking them up off the ground, you know, right off the bat. But, I think, more so than, you know, than paying attention to that stuff in the scout. I think we've got some guys on the defensive end who excel in getting the ball off the ground. That is something that, I think that group down there is very good at. You know, we, as much as we might be picking up, you know, 30 ground balls a game, you know, it's, we haven't exactly dominated the ground ball war, Vivek Ramal battle, you know, each and every time, you know, we've played another team. So that continues to be, you know, as much of a focus as anything else for us.
And in net, Benny Pio has been a reliable option, you know, once again. And I'm curious as to, you know, what your thoughts are on how he's played.
Ben has been awesome, you know, plain and simple. He has really taken a step forward in a variety of different areas for us this year. Number one is just his leadership. Number two has just been his commitment to being the absolute best goalie that he can be. And number three is, you know, like we talked about before, the clearing game. He has been rock solid for us all year, and he has just been such a competitor. We're, you know, we got a lot of faith in Benny, and you know, we're very, very happy he's on our team.
Opening up the conversation a little bit more and realizing that, you know, we got to let you get back to work a little bit. But one of the things that I'm curious about your opinion on is I was talking to a coach last week about the phenomenon of early recruiting, and he pointed to, his claim was that it's going to slow down, and, you know, he had a number of reasons for it, but one of them was the success of programs like Richmond, Marquette, Boston University, who have been successful on abbreviated timetables and basically have built rosters without the luxury of recruiting underclassmen, high school underclassmen. And I'm curious as to, you know, just kind of what your reaction is to that, particularly, you know, on the basis of coming from a program in Loyola that, you know, at the time that you were there, had a pretty strong identity for not engaging in the early recruiting. How has it worked out for you? And you know, do you kind of sense that the success programs like yours, programs that have recruited like yours, have had might, you know, kind of change the tide a little bit in terms of maybe not necessarily the top five, top ten programs, but certainly the other programs that live in your neighborhood, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I hope it happens. Sometimes I don't hope it happens. You know, all I know is, you know, we're going to continue to subscribe to, you know, what we believe in. And right now is, you know, I believe in making informed decisions. You know, if, I'm sure we've had players who have wanted, you know, have been really interested in Richmond and, you know, have been pressured by other schools to make decisions, and we've lost out on those guys, and we just, you know, we maybe we just didn't feel totally comfortable. And, you know, when you have a roster cap, you know, specific admissions restrictions, you know, you want to make sure that you're, you know, you're not making any mistakes. And, you know, I'm a believer that there's a lot of good players that and as much as any coach, you know, I know we all, you know, we bust our humps all summer. There's no way that everybody can see every player, you know. So, you know, but I do feel like as long as you're working hard, you're going to see players that you like. You're going to find some guys that you like and fit your system. You know, you're going to have relationships with programs that you like. You know, one of the most satisfying parts of being here at Richmond and, you know, putting ourselves in the position that we're in right now, which obviously, you know, we still have a long way to go, is the, you know, our sophomore class, in November of their senior year, they were all uncommitted, you know, to, you know, and that, you know, there's not many blue chippers out there, you know, when, you know, left in the senior class. So, you know, for those players to have, you know, to come in here late and to take a chance on Richmond and, you know, to develop themselves the way that they've developed, and, you know, last year's freshmen to be able to do, you know, what they did, you know, I think that speaks volumes, and that, you know, reminds us all the time that, hey, you got a guy like Brendan Hines, who, you know, is, you know, one of, if not our best players, and to think, hey, this kid wasn't committed in his senior year, you know, there's good players out there. If we lose out on a sophomore who's, you know, who goes somewhere else, we try not to freak out because we say, hey, you know, somebody's going to come available late and we're going to be very happy that we have a spot or we have scholarship money. And, you know, right now, a freshman is playing on the first midfield for us right now. You know, his final two choices were Austin Tufts. We think he's pretty good nitty. You know, and he was a guy who I didn't know about until, you know, the summer going up, you know, summer leading into his senior year. So, everybody's got their own pace that they subscribe to. Certainly not going to knock that on anybody. You know, I just, I'm not smart enough to be able to predict how somebody's going to mature, physically and athletically, when they're really, really young.
Well, so it's so fascinating. We could talk for a while, and I particularly would love to hear more about the concept of roster caps and what that means in terms of just kind of, building a team and realizing that there are limitations that, some peer programs might not have to deal with. But just, to kind of summarize and put a little bit of a bow on terms of, where Richmond is at this point in the season. You've got two Southern Conference games remaining. You're currently 4-0 in the league, and then, you'll turn around and play in a season-ending conference tournament. Already clinched a spot in that. What do you want to see out of your team against when you travel to Bellarmine on Saturday, and then when you host Mercer on April 25th, and in that game battle against a team that is 0-6 out of conference but undefeated in, and certainly a threat that needs to be taken very seriously.
On Saturday when our guys go up to Bellarmine, I want to see a team that continues to focus on the little things. A team that continues to focus on the fundamentals. Focus on ground balls, focus on clearing the ball, focus on, shot selection and approaches, to their attack. And, we want to see a team that, continues to really focus on, just the fundamentals of the game. And, we spend a lot of time coaching those, a lot of time, trying to develop those in practice. And, our guys are finally starting to understand, that it really takes, it's about the little things. If we can do all the little things right, then we're going to put ourselves in a position to like where we're at when the game's finished.
Spoken like a true West Genesee grad.
Thank you.
I know that it's a dynastic high school program legacy when simply stating that you sound like somebody who went to a particular high school is a compliment, but it certainly is that. So, Dan Cermati, as always, we thank you for your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Best of luck as your team prepares for a trip to Kentucky. Best of luck as you continue to enjoy the meat of this season. Nothing like the April weather in Richmond, Virginia, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Terry. I appreciate it.
Inside Lacrosse podcast.